listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome, friends, to CMDA Matters, where we explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. Whether you're in healthcare or simply interested in how God is working through Christ's followers in patient care and beyond, we are glad you are here. On today's episode, we're joined by Dr. Peter Cole. He's an accomplished orthopedic surgeon, a professor, and co-founder of Scalpel at the Cross. It's a medical mission dedicated to serving the people of Pucallpa, Peru. Dr. Cole is a professor of orthopedic surgery at the University of Minnesota, where he established a national clinic referral center that's focused on acute and chronic post-traumatic conditions. His work with Scalpel at the Cross, which he co-founded with his wife Nancy in 2004, has been transforming lives in the Peruvian Amazon by providing essential musculoskeletal care and sharing God's love through healthcare missions. Today, we're going to hear from Dr. Cole about his journey of building Scalpel at the Cross, the challenges and the rewards of healthcare missions, and how integrating his faith into his calling as a surgeon and professor has impacted his patients, his students, and certainly his own life. Let's dive into this powerful conversation with Dr. Peter Cole. Well, today on CMDA Matters, I have one of those fun and unique opportunities to be out in the field, traveling, and we'll be speaking tonight for a very special gala to raise funds for Scalpel at the Cross Ministry, and I'm sitting across the table from its founder, Dr. Peter Cole, and in the midst of a winter wonderland, Dr. Cole, here in central northern Minnesota. So thank you for the warm welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome to Minnesota, Minnesota style.
Well, talk to us just a little bit about Scalpel at the Cross. How did God lead you to launch this ministry?
Well, it's such a wonderful story and a labor of love. And certainly when Nancy and I started out 20 years ago, we didn't nearly dream about what has come about. All we wanted to do was to simply be open to the Lord's leading and growing as He saw fit, as people were provided into our lives, as messages of hope and callings from Peru and our partners drew us into a more and more focused orthopedic surgical ministry in the Peruvian Amazon, even to the extent that we're now building out a new campus with facilities and...
Called the Miracle Hospital, I believe.
Yeah, we call it the Miracle Campus.
Campus
will host a rehabilitation center for orthopedic surgery patients and also a fabrication site for prostheses and for orthoses. The medical model, the mission model, if you will, is that we built our first campus as a guest lodge in a beautiful area of rainforest on a lagoon in the Amazon jungle outside of the city of Pucallpa, Peru, which is on the largest tributary of the Amazon River, a tributary called the Ucayali. And what we wanted to do was to be able to build a guest lodge for us to take friends and perhaps colleagues down to work in the government hospitals in Pucallpa, Hospital Amazónico and Hospital Regional de Pucallpa. And so for many years, I would take surgical campaigns of 10 to 20 people, and they would stay at our guest lodge, affectionately known as Jungle Bunks. And we would spend a week or 10 days going into the hospital, assessing patients and doing orthopedic surgeries, primarily on non-united bones, infected bones, joint contractures, broken bones, and deformity. Those are the reconstructive problems that are part of my practice here in the United States.
And it's a busy practice. I mean, I think you wrote to me an email not too long ago that, wow, it was a busy week just this week on trauma, a lot of surgery. So how, Peter, do you fit this in? How are you able to fit in the whole ministry in the Peruvian Amazon and be a busy traumatologist here in Minnesota?
Yeah, good question. I get that question a lot, and you know, sometimes I don't exactly know myself, but I'll point to my teams. You can do a lot with teams, and so one thing I think God's given me a knack for is finding good people and providing a vision, maybe some guardrails, and then getting out of their way and letting them do their thing. So we have incredible team members in Scalpel at the Cross. It's largely a volunteer organization with a handful of paid staff. But my gosh, I like to allude to our 10,000 volunteers, because it all comes together in such a wonderful way to have a big impact, not only for the Peruvian Amazon, but for the United States through all the team members that we take down, through such a small investment. And it's because of the team. And so if you can find a good team and team members that you trust with integrity, and then provide a vision that they get excited about, all you need to do is step back and get out of their way. And it's a little bit of a version of that, I think.
How many teams a year go down to work in Pucallpa?
We're at five surgical campaigns per year, generally 10 to 14 day trips. But what's changing, even as we speak, as the new Miracle Campus opens, we're developing a year-round presence, and we're going to start taking physical therapy and rehabilitation teams down. Also, people trained in the area of prosthetics and orthotics, so that we'll have a surgical side and a rehab side to our mission teams, creating a year-round presence. And I think that one of the things that's important for me to point out is one of the distinctives of Scalpel at the Cross is that we're not an itinerant mission organization where we go and operate and really don't know how our patients do.
Pray that God will take care of them after you leave. There's something more than that.
Exactly, yeah. So that is that we follow patient outcomes in a very robust way. And I'm talking about orthopedics and spiritual outcomes. And we have an incredible staff in Peru that helps us with the follow-up and the ongoing communication throughout the year. And that is, you know, I think part of the magic, if you will, of creating a sustaining organization with roots built on relationships that go back now 30 years, actually, since Nancy and I first started visiting Pucallpa, Peru.
I've had a chance online to read some of your prayer letters and some of your history, and to know that in all of our lives, there are some really key strategic relationships. Luis Palau, the South American evangelist, I heard him once say that great big doors open on small hinges. Relationships often. And one of those relationships in your life was a couple that you and your wife met, I think, in Miami, who to this day are significant because of their down there as part of South American mission. Tell us about that relationship and how God has used that over the decades.
Luis Palau could not have stated that any better. This was a hinge relationship. When I was in my last year of medical school, Nancy and I lived in Miami. We've been married now 40 years. And we met a couple through a church right across the street, Granada Presbyterian Church. And I used to play basketball and blow off steam in their parking lot after classes in medical school. And this guy walks up and says, "Hey, can I shoot around with you?" And I said, "Bring it on." And that was Craig Hagen. Well, we started playing basketball together on a regular basis, and I came to find out he was a bush pilot in the Peruvian Amazon and was married to a lovely lady named Heather. They lived in the building next to us, and within 3 months on their furlough up in the States to raise money for their own mission, they invited us to Peru. And the day after medical school, Nancy and I went to Peru with a dozen boxes of medications and supplies, and he flew me around the jungle to different villages to do primary care kinds of clinics. And of course, you know, I was a one-day-old doctor, a one-week-old doctor, but that experience captivated us such that throughout residency, Nancy and I managed to get back two more times, and then another three times in the subsequent years in my fellowship and early practice. And we finally said, you know what? Craig Hagen and Heather and Nancy and I decided we were going to buy a parcel of land adjacent to the South American mission property inside of their kind of security area and build a guest lodge. And that's what we did in 2004. And at that point, we officialized
the launch
of
ministry. Scalpel at the Cross. So in a way, in between your visits, does SAM, they kind of, are they caretakers of the guest house and the property to some degree?
We partner with them very closely and are mingled in so many ways, not so much from a governance standpoint and not from a support standpoint, but more so from a logistics advisory and some of the infrastructure components of our original mission base. And without that relationship with South American Mission, who we dearly love and whom Scalpel supports, we would not be where we are today doing what we're doing, not on the scale of what we're doing. And that is, again, one of those strategic relationships that God clearly purposed to bring us to where we are today.
So, Dr. Cole, so you just this last year, 2024, have had a major campaign, been building this miracle campus, a structure where clearly you're going to be able to do patient care. So I'm curious, where have you actually done surgeries and rehab and all of the other clinical work you've done in the previous 19 or 20 years? Where has that taken place? Has that been in a district or regional hospital?
Yes, exactly. And so specifically, Pucallpa has two primary government hospitals, okay? Between the two hospitals, they have eight operating rooms. And I want to add, those are the same eight operating rooms that were there 20 years ago as there are today. But the population has doubled from 200,000 to almost 500,000 now. Okay, those same four operating rooms serve the same population, which clearly should underscore the overwhelming need for the kinds of services that we bring. So surgeries occur at the hospitals, and previously we have worked with a humble servant, amazing person who is a pastor and a physical therapist named Isaac Mendoza. And he is on our staff. He's paid. He's a pastor at the local church, but he does physical therapy to earn a dollar. And he has followed our patients. That's been our rehab program. As you can imagine, the need clearly outstrips Isaac's ability to serve the people. And so in orthopedics, you know, if you're involved in that specialty, the rehab is essential. And that includes the physical therapy necessary to get a optimal surgical result so patients can get back to their most independent lifestyle. And then there are adjunctive things related to bracing and splinting and even the manufacture of prosthetic limbs. So the center that we're building will be the first of its type in Peru and certainly the only one like it in the Amazon region. And it will be a referral center that will serve, we don't know now, untold thousands of people.
When is it projected to be completed?
We have a grand opening in May,
in just May.
A few months. And the campus was an open field of dirt and grass and all the tropical elements that you might imagine on a highway coming out of the town of Pucallpa, beautifully situated. And another strategic partner, the Swiss Evangelical Mission, actually practically granted us the land if we would use it for ministry, for medical ministry, because we had come to know and love this organization over time. And their purpose is to be in the jungle in teaching the Bible and training pastors to go out into the villages of the Amazon basin. But they so appreciate, you know, the other ministries that we partner with: Pioneers Ministry, the Swiss Evangelical Mission, South American Mission, Wycliffe Bible Translators. There are many who really look to us as the resource, medically and orthopedically speaking, to help them maintain their presence. We're like a piece of the mission ministry ecosystem there that has become really vital.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. Time is running out to register for the 2025 CMDA National Convention in St. Charles, Missouri on May 1st through 4th. Sponsored by Samaritan's Purse, this is the premier event for healthcare professionals, residents, students, and spouses to gather in community together. Our guest speakers include Dr. Eric McLaughlin, Ryan Bomberger, Aaron Hawley, and more. We can't wait to gather together and for God to show us how we can each be a spoke in the wheel for Christ in healthcare. So reserve your spot now. For more information and to register, visit natcon.cmda.org. We're excited to announce the newest addition to CMDA's long list of resources for our members, and it is specifically for students and residents. Called Standing Strong in Training, this new curriculum helps healthcare students and residents stand up against the cultural pressures facing Christians within healthcare today. The curriculum's 7 modules are designed for group settings, allowing attendees to solidify their foundational worldview beliefs regarding important issues, such as the beginning of life, end of life, and biblical sexuality. Each module also offers ideas of how to winsomely defend biblical values and positively interact with others in developing their worldview beliefs. For more information and to download this free resource, visit cmda.org/standingstrong. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
Most of your year, you and Nancy, is spent here in the Twin Cities, and you're in a very busy, as we mentioned earlier, busy orthopedic traumatology practice. Talk to us about the impact that what you do there part-time in Peru, the impact, how it changes the way things work in terms of your practice here.
The first thing I want to say is that scalpel at the cross is a fraction of my work life and career. Okay, I might say under 5%. I'm a service line director for Health Partners in orthopedics and a professor at the University of Minnesota, and that's my calling. I'm an academic. I love education and investigation, and so we have fellows and residents and medical students that rotate at Regents Hospital, and I, you know, run a research lab, and so my mission field is right here in the Twin Cities in one sense, okay, 95% of my career. And yet, because of the team I alluded to earlier, the incredible team that runs Scalpel at the Cross, through the great help of, you know, family members and a few employed people and 10,000 volunteers, and I'm able to function that way. And so I can go in and out of the mission work as I execute my workaday life at the University of Minnesota. and Regents Hospital. Now, I would say most people are aware that there's a ministry called Scalp at the Cross, but it you know, in the busy, frenetic, workaday American life of healthcare, where, you know, everyone is trying to compete and earn some coin and just bang out the cases, there's really not an acute local awareness that I'm involved in this organization called Scalpel at the Cross on any kind of daily basis. You know, I might give an occasional talk at the Minnesota Orthopedic Society or at Grand Rounds, but it's a little bit like two different lives. And I think it's just a way to effectively, you know, be effective in managing your life and time and resources. Now, on the other hand, we talked about mentorship earlier, yeah. Mike, and I always refer to mentorship. The right kind of mentorship is a bottom-up process. You know, there was never a mentor program for me, but I had amazing mentors in my life. And so through that bottom-up process, meaning the mentee needs to pursue a mentor, someone they want to be like, someone who they appreciate their values, or someone that has the kind of chemistry that that they want to spend time with. Well, I have those residents, those fellows, those colleagues that have been drawn to me, perhaps as a mentor, with an interest in getting involved in Scalpel at the Cross. And through that, have created a, let's call it a channel for interested people who seem to be drawn to the kind of work I'm doing outside of the practice here in Minnesota to take advantage of it. So we were able to negotiate an arrangement with the University of Minnesota Department of Orthopedics to sponsor in a scholarship program a resident to travel with us to the Amazon. I've had fellows go down with me during their fellowship year and spend a period of time. And so it has been a key resource for a multiple handfuls of people, you know, and they could be PAs or nurses or even non-medical people that are just intrigued and want to see what's going on. And I love that. So again, but that's, again, another maybe less than 5% of the people I interact with every day. Yeah. But it's impactful. And I'm actually as thrilled about the ministry that Scalpel at the Cross is to America through those relationships and the travelers that we take, as I am to the Peruvians that we serve in Peru. I mean, there's two different mission fields there.
Absolutely. So I've had a chance to read through some of your prayer letters and some stories from these 10,000 volunteers and donors. Some of your former patients catch the vision and have donated and so forth and have appreciated the cure. So somehow it leaks out of Peter Cole into your patients and their families that maybe there are pictures in your clinic, or somehow they come across your name and look online and hear about Scalpel at the Cross. So how often do you get a chance to share your testimony with patients?
Frequently. Patients are sophisticated now. And in fact, I, in a proud sort of way, I'm happy to say the Twin Cities is a very sophisticated, educated patient population and patient base. And even though I work at a safety net hospital, love providing care to the whole spectrum of humanity. You can imagine in orthopedic trauma what that looks like. Many patients come to me having done some online research and wanting to know what this thing is that's alluded to in my bio, for example. And so it doesn't take long online to pick up that Dr. Cole's interested in global healthcare and his wife, and he built a ministry in the Amazon. Then they click on the website to Scalpel at the Cross. And so I would say maybe one patient in every 10 or 15 said, "So do you do something in mission work, or what is this thing called Scalpel at the Cross you're involved in?" And I light up in the office because I love to share with patients who are interested about our ministry. It's amazing to share that part of our, you know, my testimony with my patients. You know, if I run behind in clinic, it may have something to do with that. You know, we go off on a little tangent
I resemble that remark from my past. A little bit of distraction when someone talks about your heart passion or ask you a question.
Exactly. And so we have had patients that are just sort of blown away by realizing, like, what? I thought you were a doctor here in Minnesota and you have this thing going on in the Amazon jungle and they want to know more and they get involved. And they may end up becoming a friend of Scalpel at the Cross and even traveling to the Amazon in a number of cases, or perhaps participating in the gala tonight to learn more about Scalpel. And that's really wonderful.
What are your greatest needs on these teams? And then how can people figure out how to plug in and join you in the Peruvian Amazon?
Log into our website, scalpelatthecross.org. You know, we have a wonderful website, and it's managed by a wonderful lady who is herself Peruvian, who is on our mission team, very talented. And through that, you can find out how to get involved, even to the extent you can fill out a questionnaire to go on a mission trip. And then what we do is that when we have dates that come online for trips, we send those dates out to the people who have filled out online surveys that tell us a little bit about their background and their gifts and talents, whether they speak Spanish or not. And so that's how we've had people, total strangers from other parts of the country, get into a mission trip that way and then become a big part of Scalpel at the Cross. So I think that's the way that, you know, one could really plug in to the ministry and find out the different ways that they can get involved.
How can people be praying for you and this outreach that touches tens of thousands who volunteer and then, of course, the patients who receive in Peru? But how can people be praying for you and what's left for you for this current phase of the construction?
Well, let me take the last part of the question first. We are having the grand opening of our OP and OR. Okay, that's the orthotics and prosthetics and orthopedic rehabilitation 4,000 square foot facility, which will host, you know, all the equipment and exam rooms and machinery to do all that work. And on the second floor of this beautiful building, we are hosting a conference and education center where global research will occur. And that's a whole other kind of phase of the ministry. But we're only halfway through our, two-thirds the way through the project to finish out the campus. The phase two and three is to build a chapel, which we want to have serve the spiritual needs of the community. We're not focused on building a church per se, but a chapel that will be a resource for this campus, for the staff and for patients and for gatherings and things like that. And then lastly, a hospitality center in which we can host, say, visitors like yourself and other people that go to the Amazon jungle as we host teams and purposes. It could be for education. It could be for donor trips. It could be for, you know, strategic partnerships. And this hospitality center and the chapel is the next phase of the building project. To date, our original security home where the family that runs the prosthetics and orthotics center and the large facility for the medical work is essentially accomplished. And so I would ask for prayer and support for another $1.5 million for the rest of the build out of the campus. Now, the other thing that I would pray for is a wisdom and discernment and protection. I'm going to talk about those three things. Wisdom and discernment to know when to pull the lever on relationships, on resources and investments and staffing, And then that leads to the second thing, protection from the evil one, Satan, who desires to crush this work.
Of course.
Because of our faith-pointed ministry in the Amazon, which is helping to turn Pucallpa inside out for Christ. And there's so many stories towards that end. As you become more visible and more apparent to the community, you become more of a target. You become threatening to certain elements in society. And so this charge is to a call for prayer, for protection against those elements that could occur from outside the ministry or inside due to the nature of running human organizations, right? We're all fallen sinners without the saving grace of Christ. You know, we would be one of the enemy. But I think that's how I would summarize the both the practical and the slightly more ethereal needs of for prayer.
Thank you for telling us your story today on CMDA Matters.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart, thinking of my own CMDA history as a medical student at the University of Miami, how influential your ministry and organization and leadership has been in my life and critical colleagues.
What an incredible conversation with Dr. Peter Cole. His passion for serving others through Scalpel at the Cross, coupled with his work as a surgeon and a professor, it brings me such joy. And his dedication to integrating faith into his healthcare profession is a beautiful reminder of the impact, friends, that we can have when we follow God's call on our lives. You know, there's an Oz Guinness quote that I love to share with groups of healthcare professionals, especially those who are still in training or who have sensed God calling them to step out in faith and obedience to be on mission for Him. Oz Guinness writes in his book, Carpe Diem Redeemed, "Those who respond to God's call, who come to know Him and walk with Him in accomplishing His purposes in the world, are like entrepreneurial partners, junior partners, of course. The meaning of history, then, is the working out of God's covenantal purposes over time, but always far beyond any single generation and always far beyond any human understanding." I want you to think about the concept of being a junior partner and an entrepreneur with the God of the cosmos, who called you and who created you, as well as the world that you inhabit. If you're interested in learning more about Scalpel at the Cross, be sure to check out their website, which is scalpelatthecross.org. You can also visit cmda.org/missions to learn how you can get involved in healthcare missions, whether through prayer or by joining a team, whether with our Global Health Outreach Ministry or our Medical Education International Ministry. There at our website, you'll find stories, resources, and opportunities to get involved in bringing Christ-centered healthcare to those who are in most need. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to follow CMDA Matters and share it with others in your life and in your career who would also be encouraged by these weekly conversations. From May 1st through the 4th in St. Charles, Missouri, more than 1,000 Christian healthcare professionals will come together to enjoy a heartfelt community, to sharpen their understanding of cultural challenges, and to stand strong or stand firm for biblical truth. Thanks to the generous support of our premier sponsors, Samaritan's Purse and Liberty University College of Osteopathic Medicine, we've got an incredible lineup of speakers waiting for you. Check them out on our website. You do not want to miss this opportunity in early May to be inspired and equipped. You can register by going to natcon.cmda.org. Next week, we're excited to feature the recent recording of a well-attended live stream event that we held at CMDA on finding purpose and transitioning from a healthcare career into a fulfilling retirement from the perspective of a committed Christ follower in healthcare. This live stream discussion featured our coaching ministry's founder, Dr. Steve Sartori, and our Vice President of Missions and Member Care, Pastor Bert Jones. Be sure to tune in next week. Whether you are a Christ follower in healthcare, taking care of challenging and needy orthopedic trauma patients in the Peruvian Amazon, or you're a committed Christ follower in healthcare or other line of work, our vision is that you will continue bringing the hope and healing of Jesus Christ to the world. That's what matters to CMDA, friends, and CMDA matters. May you recognize this week that the Lord is with you as He is for you to do His good work as His junior partner. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on CMDA Matters, God willing.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.